Dr. Homebrew is brought to you by Five Star Chemicals, providing safety and cleaning supplies for brewing, distilling, and winemaking at 5starchemicals.com.
Doctor, look!
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Stand clear. Oh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another fine edition of Dr. Homebrew. My name is Jason J.P. Petros. You might know me from other shows as Dr. Homebrew and then some other ones I can't really talk about. I am with my intrepid co-hosts, Brian and Lee.
Hey there. Yeah.
We'd also like to thank our opening band. It's like Push and the Pushies or something.
Yeah, who knows who did this? I have no idea who did it, but they kind of fired it off, huh?
That's some rock and roll.
Watch how you say pushies.
It sounds handsome.
Dangerous.
They do sound real handsome, actually, Warren. Thank you for commenting on their handsomeness.
You're welcome.
That is Warren, of course, Beardy, as you may or may not be aware.
Hi.
Why do they call him Beardy? I've been wondering.
Because he likes to shave.
I don't get it.
I think it's really... he works at Heretic Brewing Company.
I do. I'm there every day.
Do you stand around? Do you just really order Chris around, who's the head brewer?
Well, actually, according to his new business card, he is the brewmaster.
Oh!
Yeah. Wow. We all just found that out, even though Chris has had his cards for months now.
Wow.
He finally got around to reading it.
He goes, hey, look at what I am.
Yeah. Check this out.
Nanny, nanny, poo, poo. Yeah.
I gave myself a promotion through an error in printing.
Well, you know, in addition to that fabulous beard, look at that head of hair. That thing's amazing.
Yeah, Warren has some powers of the follicle, for sure.
I don't know where this is going now.
The powers of the follicle.
Yeah.
I've got some extras if you want.
Just take your shirt off, Warren.
All right.
What are we going to throw the camera on in case no one's ever seen Warren? That's me. There's there.
Nipple cam.
All right, there you go. You're live, Warren.
Shirt on or shirt off?
Well, do whatever you want to do. Okay. I mean, you still have to be married after this.
Show us up.
I still have to be?
Yeah. You didn't know that? This doesn't get you out of that.
Oh, no. You told me this would get me out of it.
Well, I lied. It would get you out of the house.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. I assumed the whole thing was off.
No. Shit. You wish. Anyway, welcome to Dr. Homebrew, of course. If you are a little unfamiliar with our format, we take two master BJCP judges, which are Brian and Lee, and we pit any homebrewer at all against them. While it's not really a competition, we judge it as such. And the main point here is to get you feedback on your beers, true, proper feedback. Unlike anything else you would actually ever get in a competition, I feel, especially after getting my first round scores back, I got nothing near the detail that these two young men will require. So tell me about it. If I didn't have jury duty today, I would have brought my sheets in, and I would have thought about it and had a brain left.
In your beer smells good.
Oh no, I got like aroma good. Cool.
Three out of five.
I could have told you that.
Is that it?
It has a good aroma.
You should talk to whoever was running that comp and complain about it.
I did. It was his first.
They had a one word review.
It was his first time, and I felt real bad. I know the guy, and I actually emailed two of the judges. One guy told me specifically he would not buy another pint of my beer, of my cider, rather, but then he scored it in the very good range. So I called him on it. I go, well, how do you justify not buying another pint and yet scoring it very good? And he just addressed every other issue that he screwed up on, but didn't really address the really shitty judging comment. So anyway, needless to say, this is not like that. If you send your beer in, we'll actually get you on the phone, or if you're local, you can come in person. Oh, hell, if you want to drive out here or fly out here just to be on this little dinky show, by all means do it.
Hop the next SpaceX shuttle and come on by.
Yeah, why not? If you can get here and whatever. We will go through your beer with a fine tooth comb. These people, Brian and Lee, they are very good at what they do, and they are very diligent in filling out every single solitary space.
That's right.
On that piece of paper.
But we're not perfect.
No, of course not.
I just want to point that out.
Right.
And after they're fine mentors, too. I mean, that's the thing with judging. You're, as you're sitting down with a junior judge, you're helping them learn how to do the
right.
thing.
Right. I mean, just see all JP has learned over the last year of this.
Right, I've learned so much about things, and
I swear I heard diacetyl.
He's really crushing the candy.
Yeah, I was playing Candy Crush, you know, while we're waiting for the break, because I can't. I'm not going to judge. What are you guys crazy?
Right.
I keep cutting myself on just a chair. That was the second time I've sliced my thumb open on a chair. That's how fragile my skin is.
Self abuse through furniture.
I'm a cutter, but I'm just
a cutter.
Anyway, so we have two special guest beers today. One of them is Beardy's Beer.
Woo-hoo. Yes.
Beardy's Beer.
Beardy's Beer.
Which is the name of his new brewery, Beardy's Beer. And then the second one is mine. I brought my beer in. I happen to actually have had to brew a beer.
That's a little reflexive.
And I'm strong. I want you to know it.
Refluxive.
Refluxive. I can get the acidity already.
Blah.
Right. No nepotism here either.
It's a, no, why would there be? It's a, what I call Belgian table beer, kind of modeled after the Westie 6, and Peter Munoz was on a couple months ago. I can't remember the date anymore.
A while ago, yeah.
He did the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Did he inspire yours?
No. Okay. No, I did mine independent of his. Yeah.
Peter's
of his
a cool
thing. He did it before
dude.
It was cool.
Yeah.
And he makes
yeah.
amazing sausages if you've never had them.
He does. I have not, but I've heard. I've heard things about him. The magic he can weave.
Heard things about his magic sausage?
Well, you know.
And one of the best ghost brewers, Gosa brewers in the world here.
Yeah. That's yeah. He's a good brewer. So anyway, so he was on, and now I feel it's my turn to bring my beer in.
Now you get the experience. You know, you get to have your judge beer, your beer judged by us.
And right. Which I've always
feel
wanted.
Feel what it's really like. Not only are you the host, you're also an
expert. Right. You get to be on the other side of the gun and moderate the proceedings.
The other side of the guillotine.
It's like being in charge of your own execution.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. No, I do have some questions, and you know, hopefully you guys can answer them. And Warren, you have a milk stout.
Yes.
That you brewed at my house.
Yes.
All these beers were brewed at JP's house.
Yeah. Yeah.
How awesome.
It's a JP house show.
Put it in the back of my truck after I brewed it and fermented at my house.
Yeah. Mm. Collecting air along the way.
Right. No, it was an open bed fermentation.
Yeah.
I just left it in the back of my truck.
Right.
A puddle in the back.
Right.
That'd be great to ferment.
I have
a pickup.
My driveway is sloped, so it all stayed right up against the cab in the bed of the truck. So.
Smart maneuver.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No drain plug or anything, so it stayed in, and I just siphoned it out when it was done.
Well, that's...
You just didn't back out the street and go up a hill and drain it out that way?
Oh yeah, I should have done that. I could have put hops in the back, and then it would have been like a Randall type
Warren,
thing.
Do you have a bed liner
or some
in there?
Squirrels came along and got really happy.
Yeah, there's a sprayed in bed liner.
So it might get a little plastic.
Yeah. Lulu Gumshoe in the chat wants to know how many gallons of milk you use, but we'll get to that.
Oh yeah,
we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that.
This is normally where we would announce. Well, first of all, let's get into our primary sponsor, Five Star. You can go to fivestarchemicals.com and find out everything you need to know about how to clean your equipment, people. We cannot stress this enough, especially in a competition environment. If you want to make beer that will win you ribbons and accolades and free things, you need to have clean equipment.
But not just clean.
No. Sanitary, right? And you can't do both of those things at the same time. A lot of these other cleaners and sanitized combination things will lead you to believe that. But studies show, I don't know what kind of studies they are, but you can't do it. You need to clean the thing first, and then you need to sanitize the thing, whatever it may be. And Five Star really has kind of the best, the best cleaners and sanitizers on the market. I've used them for years, and once we brought them in over on More Beer, we just couldn't keep them in. When I was working there, we would run out of them all the time. No matter, we would get pallets and pallets of the stuff. And once you use Five Star Chemicals a couple of times and see the kind of job they do, I love PBW because you can just let stuff soak. You put it in your carboy, mix it up, and you just let it sit overnight, and that stuff will just fall right off.
Give up your bleach usage. Go to the...
Oh, yeah. I don't know if anybody... Do people use bleach and iodine still and all that kind of stuff?
I've heard of OxyClean still getting used.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
That as well.
Yeah.
It's basically
OxyClean and iodine.
Similar
stuff. Now, I use iodine on my plate chiller, but that's the only place.
Yeah. I mean, I know I still see it for iodine for sale in the homebrew store. So. And actually, they sell an iodine.
They do. I think it's IoStar.
IoStar.
So check them out at 5-star. You can go to 5starchemicals.com. Every person on the show tonight, Warren, that has sent in beer to the show will get a free pack of chemicals from 5starchemicals.com. Can you believe that, how lucky we are?
I'll put it right next to my Star San and PBW on my shelf at home.
Yeah, I just bought 4 pounds of PBW the day. Yeah. But that's all right. I won't make the nice people at 5-star give us. I won't make them give us stuff.
Thank you.
You're included in that, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I'm not getting any.
You're not getting shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well. But everyone else comes up.
Yeah.
I just remember there's somewhere I got to be.
John wants some. Brian wants some.
Another thing I realize that you're not going to get is our other sponsor, Grog Tag, is giving away a $40 gift certificate to their website for the beer with the lowest score.
Nice. Right, because you're getting it.
Well, I'm sorry.
You guys don't know that.
Sorry. What was that, Warren? I couldn't hear you. I can't. I still just... I don't know.
I think JP just turned Warren's mic off.
No, I think it's Warren. I don't know. I don't think anyone wants to hear his nonsense and his shit.
Oh.
I got you.
Hello?
So check out GrogTag. Go to GrogTag.com. I'm going to say GrogTag Chemicals. That'd be a good website to buy. And they're customizable, reusable beer labels for your beers and your wines and your ciders and whatever it is the hells you do at home. They have bottle caps and metal signs. Anyway, it's $40. You can spend anywhere on that website. And, you know, since I'm an employee of the station and Warren is a alternate employee of the station, we both have the same base salary, which is odd.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. That's what I thought.
We're doing great.
We're doing awesome. I won't give it away to either of us, but maybe I'll give it to John for guest appearing here.
The Grog Tag thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Warren, I need to know exactly what you're saying right now because I don't understand it. So anyway, that's a new thing. It's called the At Least Your Beer Will Look Good Grog Tag giveaway. Let's take a break because I need a beer. And we have beer, and we have beer to talk about. So you're going to hear from some sponsors, and then when we come back, I guess we're diving into my beer first, right?
Warren's.
Warren's?
We do Warren's first.
All right. First.
Yes.
Ladies first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beardies first.
Huh? We'll save yours for the last.
Yeah. I mean, mine.
Oh. Yours is first?
No, last.
Oh.
Last. Idiot.
Mine's first.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Right.
Cool.
I'm going to go scrub the earphone
break time.
Crumbles out of my ears.
Yeah, I think you should.
Welcome to Dr. Homebrew, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be back after this. Hang on a second.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than 5-Star Chemicals. 5-Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And 5-Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, 5-Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. 5-Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And 5-Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the 5-Star solution. Visit 5starchemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the 5-Star treatment today.
Hey, Wooly, I'm beat. Can we find a nice tree to just hang out in for a while?
You're beat? I've been swinging through this forest for 50 years, ever since we
first escaped from the circus. I know, but there's got to be more to life than exploring this creek and trying to populate the valley by copulating with loose, hairy girls.
Marcus, stop. Look!
What is that?
It looks like a man-made treehouse.
With fresh food.
And craft beer.
Welcome to the Creek Monkey Tap House, boys. Grab a seat. Creek Monkeys drink free.
Awesome!
The Creek Monkey Tap House in Martinez, California takes their mission of fresh food and beer seriously. They only serve locally raised beef and chicken, as well as local sustainable produce. It's better for you and the planet, and it just tastes better. The beer and wine at Creek Monkey Tap House are chosen with the same care for the highest quality and rotate frequently to make each visit an adventure. Swing on in to the Creek Monkey Tap House and enjoy a new legend of amazing food, beer, and wine. The Creek Monkey Tap House, online at creekmonkey.com.
As a brewer, you already don't settle for second best. You want great tasting beer and you want great equipment to make it with. So don't settle for the second best grain mill. You want a Monster Mill from Monster Brewing Hardware. Monster Mills are tough, come in 2 and 3 roller designs, and are made right here in the USA from superior materials for longer lasting performance. Pick the mill that's right for you at MonsterBrewingHardware.com and take Bevo's advice.
Trust me, it's always better to have a bigger tool than you think you need.
Monster Mills have the best warranty in the business. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Visit MonsterBrewingHardware.com now and check out all the mills and mill accessories. Don't settle for second best. Get a Monster Mill from Monster Brewing Hardware.
Come along now. It's time for your medication.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dr. Homebrew, and we're cracking open Warren's Milk Stout. Warren, have you ever made a milk stout before?
Yes, this one.
Oh, that's weird because we're drinking it. That's cool.
Yeah.
Let's start off with the basics, Warren. How long have you been homebrewing, man?
Since 2009, so I guess 5 years now.
Okay.
I started in Minnesota. It's a lot more fun to brew there because in the wintertime, I would heat my garage up to 40 degrees.
Yeah.
And I could just leave my kegs and fermenters sitting out.
Oh, wow.
Versus just, I have a garage full of freezers and things to keep it cold. But
I'm sure your wife is happy about that.
Yeah, she loves it.
Yeah.
When are you going to get rid of all these things?
She doesn't go out in the garage.
No.
Get out.
Well, why would she? I mean, you know, the washing machine.
Yeah, there's
there,
not a whole lot of room for her to fit out in the garage.
Right.
But yeah, got started out there. I brewed, it's kind of similar to Greg on the last show. I think I brewed 3 or 4 partial mash kits before mm-hmm. going to all grain. I just was so excited, and reading a bunch of books, designing great beers, really got me wanting to start learning how to do it all myself.
Yeah.
So got into doing that. My first all grain batch was awful because my thermometer on my mash tun wasn't calibrated. And so I mashed about 20 degrees hotter than what I was shooting for.
Nice.
20.
So wow. I was mashing out instead of doing my sack rest.
Oops.
Yeah. So the yeast had a hard time fermenting all of the sugars that were there. But yeah, I just like brewing styles that I don't find commercially.
Well, milk stout is definitely one of them.
Yeah, I've only had 2 or 3. None of them were made in California, so
I think my experience is about the same with that style too.
And so I like brewing the harder to find styles since can't find them, so might as well make them.
Right.
But then I always like sending them competition or getting them to people who know something about it to see if what I made is close.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
People like me.
Whether or not I should like it or not. Yeah.
Yes, I give you the approval to like this beer.
I'm allowed to like it.
I like this beer. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Brian, tell Warren what he's done accurately, according to the South.
He made beer.
Go!
Hey!
Hey!
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks Warren made beer. It has alcohol in it. It is a liquid.
It's not frozen.
The style is called a sweet stout, but it's historically referred to as a milk or cream stout. But this is this particular one has a mildly roasty note in the aroma. Seems like a pretty clean ferment with just medium fruity esters generally in there, and it doesn't have a whole lot of the creamy, milky, sweet notes in the aroma that you can get in this beer a lot of times. No hops are detected. You wouldn't want to put a lot of hops in this beer because that would really detract from what the you know, the coffee and cream kind of thing that you really want to get in it. So that was good. The hops are out of the way. No DMS or butteriness. There's just a hint of an ashiness in there, a little bit biting in the aroma. But overall, it has a lot of the elements you'd want. It's like a little big on the roast and doesn't have as much of the sweetness as I'd like in the aroma. But it's a dark beer. It is pretty much just black. Blackish brown in color. It's pretty much opaque. You can maybe see that there's a little hint of clarity at the corners of the glass. It's hard to even see that. Fine bubbles stick around for a fair while, but they drop after a little bit. In the flavor, it's the dark malts really dominate this profile. The bitterness from the malts is actually pretty noticeable, and that was one of the things that detracted from it just a little bit. Yet there is a low, smooth, cream-like sweetness in the flavor that is helping to take the edge off of that. It seems very cleanly fermented, ale fermentation, the balances to the roast malt, and you get a nice lingering chocolatiness in the finish, like a bittersweet chocolate with a little bit of cream. It is just a little touch acrid in the flavor, too. It's not too sweet. I would say it kind of finishes medium. It's not anywhere near medium dry, but it's not like finishing sweet as you'd want it. But it's still nice because it's so clean and the roastiness in it is pleasant with that chocolatiness that's in there, too. So body-wise, it's kind of medium full-bodied with some grain astringency and a little bit biting. But no warmth was noted. Kind of has a medium to medium low carbonation. Kind of in the territory where it should be. Overall, it's not really, I wouldn't call it harsh because it's not. It's got a hint of some kind of smoky, ashy characters in it and a lot of roasts. It's a big roasty beer. And I think to balance that out, you'd probably need a little more of that. The creamy element in there, some added lactose in there, and maybe dial back the darkest roast malts just a touch to kind of enhance that smoothness. But has a lot of elements I want in the beer, and I would still call it a sweet stout. It's a pretty good example. I gave it a 33. A very good example.
There you go. Look, you look surprised, Warren.
Yeah, I was expecting worse.
Mm. Well, you always should. That's my theory.
Yeah. I mean, do you want my comments in between?
No. Okay, I don't even want to hear from you after this, actually. Perfect. Lee, go ahead, man.
All right. mostly reiterate what Brian said without bothering to say it. Dark chocolate and a lot of ash. I got that in the nose and the flavor. Otherwise, there was some obvious sweetness in there. Not a lot, but enough for the style. Pretty nice body, good carbonation. For me, the flavor profile from the dark malts, instead of being sort of coffee and chocolate, it was more very dark chocolate and charcoal ash kind of flavors. Very, very dark roast malt profile. It's probably too dark to really make this kind of a style work. Usually they like sort of more the coffee, chocolate sort of thing. That's basically right out of the guidelines. In this context, it makes it just taste kind of charcoal-y. There was a bit of a green pepper kind of flavor in there, too, which I get sometimes in stouts. I've heard rumors of people thinking that might be an oxidation thing, but I honestly have not really managed to track down whether that's true or not. But aside from that, which I think is probably just an ingredient issue, so that would be my first guess, I actually thought it was a well-made beer. It balanced nicely. It had some good creaminess. It was on the drier end of the style, but still pretty nice. You know, I'm sure there was some sugar, lactose or something added there, but it was the extra dark roast ashiness probably balances that out some. But it was clean ferment, had a nice appearance. It was very dark, had some nice tight foam on the top, but it lingered pretty well. It was a really pretty looking beer, actually, even though you couldn't see probably a supernova through it. It was so dark. But it was good. It's just too much ash and charcoal in there. And a little bit of green pepper kind of like came along with that. But so if you throttle that back, this could be really good. As it is, I gave it a 35. That might be a little generous, but not too much. it's pretty much within the parameters. It's just, I think, to my taste, a slight miscalculation on the type of roast to put in there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I I went overboard on the roasted grains. But I've got the recipe right here. I added
I'm sorry. Let's just let John jump in here real fast and see if he's anything to add, and then we'll get to your recipe. You just slow down, Beardy.
Okay. Just a couple notes that I had that weren't already mentioned. So on kind of on the vegetal side, where Lee said green pepper, it was more like a kind of like a roasted green pepper for me. So you got that little burnt character to it. On the it wasn't as acrid or ashy to me. It was more like kind of that burnt treacle, dark, roasty kind of burnt characteristic that might have come across as more of a dry, ashy characteristic. And definitely not sweet enough for the style. I mean, I've had this beer growing up. A buddy of mine's English, and we drank a lot of the sweet stouts growing up. And they are a good bit sweeter than this. Still a really good beer, and one of the better scores that I had tonight, which I give it a 32, so kind of in between these guys, and really enjoyed it. And with, I think, a few small tweaks, this is a kick-ass beer.
Awesome. Warren, Mr. Billis,
now it's okay.
If you please.
Now,
yeah.
Confession time. I put dead cats in this beer, and no. Yeah.
It's supposed to be a Pilsner.
Cats, that's why it's so dark.
Right, yeah.
Roasted.
I ran it. I let it run through my chimney before.
Tastes like it.
I ran it down the chimney into the keg, actually.
Into the back of the truck.
That's the wort chiller.
Right, yeah, right. Chilled it in the chimney. Yeah. So, yeah, I added 2 pounds of lactose. It was an 11.5-gallon batch. Starting gravity was 1056. It went down to 1023. And it was... I'll just round to the nearest whole percent. 69% Crisp Maris Otter. Yeah. 7.5% Crystal 55 from Baird's. 5% Thomas Fawcett's Pale Chocolate. 7.5% Baird's Roast Barley. And 2% Baird's Black. With 4 ounces of Willamette at 60 minutes.
Nice ingredients.
Yeah.
And no, so
definitely quality stuff.
Yeah, and that's what I was kind of curious about, the green pepper, because I get that. And I've gotten that in other beers that use the Baird's and Thomas Fawcett, and so I was wondering maybe if you guys had any ideas where that would come from.
Not necessarily. I've heard some people speculate it might be an oxidation product for dark malts, but it's like not like I've tested that out or seen a published research on that or anything.
I can it tasted like that during fermentation, so I don't think it would be oxidation while fermentation was going on.
Then it might be one of the vendors. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Fawcett's not something I've used. The Baird I probably use fairly often because it's so available out here, but I haven't myself ever traced it to a particular source.
There was something that
as it is, I mean, just for the recipe balance, I'd probably throttle back the roast barley and the black malt by half or two thirds for what you put in it, and just bump up the rest with the chocolate. I think you'd get what you're after. But yeah, I don't know. I would love to hear other people's experiences if anybody thinks they've nailed this down in the great listener land out there.
Yeah.
You know, if they ever figured out if there's a particular vendor that's selling roast barley or whatever that's given this green pepper flavor.
Your yeast that you used, by the way?
Cal Ale. So just White Super Labs neutral. 001. Yeah.
And I'd add to that, if it is a particular supplier, it's probably one of the more common ones, because when if I judge stout flights and comps, I get that a lot.
I taste it in a lot of professional dark beers also.
Yeah, and sometimes it actually comes out as flat, like a hot chili pepper even, which is even worse.
Yeah,
it's just weird. Roasted,
burnt,
yeah, and I don't understand where it comes from, but it's really hit or miss, because I've made beers using those same ingredients. Sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't. So it might even be just a batch to batch thing.
Interesting.
With the
something the yeast is doing to the malt, and it could be just some weird polyphenol that's in the malt, and you can, you mash a certain way and use your yeast a certain way, it just comes out, and other times it won't. I don't know.
Because it can also get it in coffee beers.
Yeah.
When they add coffee.
I blame the coffee. And like a lighter roast and how they're adding it rather than any of the dark malts.
So it's probably a product of the roasting you know, there's a lot going on there with the roasting process that could kick out flavors like that, because coffee can be described as having a peppery flavor, and malt can too. So yeah, interesting.
Turn myself off. We have a couple questions from the chat. Blobber wants to know, he has a question about milk stouts. Would nitrogen be a good idea to accentuate a lack of creaminess, or maybe if a beer has too much ash, would throwing some nitrogen on there kind of accentuate some of that
might
sweetness, creaminess, and kill that?
I don't think it's going to add creaminess, but it's going to make it seem a little smoother, I think, but...
Yeah, when we had Left Hand's milk stout, the carbonated version and the nitro version, the nitro version, the creaminess was a lot more apparent than in just the 100% carbonated version. And I noticed, at least with just this, the beer that I brought, the temperature has a very big impact on the balance between the creaminess and the strong roastiness. So I think serving temperature and also the beer gas versus just straight carbonation would definitely affect the balance.
Yeah.
Do you think this is a style that you have to beer gas?
No.
You'd want to avoid putting too much carbonation in it to avoid having a carbonic bite alongside all that the roastiness that's there. So you want to hold that back a little bit, kind of keep your carbonation on the lower side and have all those harmonious elements of this, you know, this espresso like, you know, creamy espresso kind of flavored beer come through without that in a way.
Yeah. But, you know, and also there's almost none of this is available from the original sources anymore. And that's most of what gets carbonated in a bottle. I've never seen, I mean, there's almost no one shipping a milk stout or a sweet stout over from England anymore anyways. Maxson's pretty much disappeared. Never seen it on tap. You know, the Left Hand that Warren's talking about is the first time I've heard, and that's going to be an American interpretation.
Yeah.
So, but I would guess just like it would have similar impact that it does. Again, it's just going to decrease the acidity, increase just the frothy mouthfeel and the creaminess. It should really make it go that way. Yeah, make it nice creamy. If it fails, oh well, it'll still be good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to make it sweeter, though. That was one of the, you know.
Okay. I've always kind of thought that nitrogen gave, maybe it was just an impression of sweetness, what do I know? I'm real handsome. Warren, do you have any other comments or questions for the guys about making a milk stout?
You mentioned that I've read about before making this beer that for competition you should tend towards the sweeter side, even like, because I wasn't going to enter it in a competition or anything, and so I wanted it to be a little bit drier than, I guess, what people expect it to be, and maybe what the traditional English styles were. And so I guess, just in terms of your own preference, would you want it to be sweeter and thicker body? Like, because it finished at 10.23. Suggesting like 10.30?
It's a really original question.
The guidelines would tell you it's medium to high sweetness.
Right.
So it needs to be at least fairly sweet. This is, I mean, given the terminal gravity on it, I'm surprised, and the amount of lactose you put in there, I'm surprised it tastes as dry. But that's probably because you've got all that roast in there. It really dries out the palate. So if you throttle that back, it might seem sweeter right there.
Sure.
Probably should seem a little sweeter than this. I don't think this is bad, but mostly I pick up the sweetness in the finish.
Mm-hmm.
So it probably should have, I mean, if you want to like hit the style Nazis where they want to get hit, it should probably be apparently sweeter to the taste than this.
But I think this would judge much better on the West Coast than on the East Coast. If this same beer came out in a Georgia NHC or something like that, where the palates are much towards the softer, sweeter, less hoppy beers, less roasty beers, they would perceive this even more bitter, dry, and less
interesting. That's possible.
Filling and sweet.
I mean, I think you got the best shake in this area here with these guys, so
we can handle some bitter.
So this is the best I'm going to do, is what you're saying.
Get used to it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to do a version of this beer that has a little lower sweetness, and you should be able to do that and make it a perfectly acceptable beer, you definitely dial back that roastiness, and then the balance will come in. Because I think if you just dial back that roastiness, you're going to notice the sweetness a little more, and it's going to be better balanced. Like, as it is right now, the balance is toward that roasty malt and not as much the sweetness, but you could change that just by pulling back the darkest malts.
What did you score him, Brian?
I scored it a 33.
I think 33 is your new 50, Warren.
Oh, well, then I did great.
Yeah. You did wonderful,
oh,
man.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Like, ultimately, I found that between like a dry stout and an oatmeal stout, ultimately.
Huh. Mm.
Not sweet enough to be...
That's still very good, according to the score sheet.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's an enjoyable beer. It's cleanly
but
made.
Would Brian buy another pint?
Oh, definitely not.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I wouldn't buy another.
I hate that check mark on the new score sheets. Yeah. Would you finish this beer? Would you buy a pint? Would you pay, you know, whatever?
You dump it on somebody's head.
Yeah. They don't
I wouldn't
that.
Even dump it on someone's head.
Yeah. No, I'm too nice for that.
No, that's a highly respectable score.
Anything else, Warren?
No.
Okay.
I'll try it again.
All right. Please do. Probably on my system.
Quite possibly. What are you doing Saturday?
I'm brewing beer. Not with you. Someone else.
Oh, well, yeah. Fine.
It's Big Brew Day.
Yeah, I was going to brew.
Oh. I won't be there. You can use it.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, it's going to be my beer. My Belgian table, you know, whatever. Leaves hammer me on the style guidelines on that, because there is no style for it. It's my session IPA. Anyway, Dr. Homebrew, everyone, stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Hey guys, JP here from the Brewing Network. On the show, you've heard us talk about the importance of using the right malts and the freshest ingredients possible when brewing up a batch of beer. As a BJCP judge, I am always impressed when brewers make European beer styles and choose the proper base malts, something that really comes through in the finished product. BSG supplies your favorite local shop with malt from maltsters like Weyermann and Rahr. These malts are the real deal for the most authentic beers possible.
BSG, Brewer Supply Group, is the source for quality malts. Crisp, Simpsons, and Patagonia are more of the amazing maltsters BSG brings to you. From pilsners to porters, use the right malts for every style of beer with malt from BSG. BSG, quality malt for a quality beer.
That's it. I've had it. I am never putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contract, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret elite bare bones club, where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine is the new go-to source for home brewing enthusiasts and anyone passionate about craft beer. Each new issue is full of inspiration, recipes, and techniques for home brewing, cooking and pairing food with beer, and features from craft brewers and the world of craft beer. More than 120 full-color pages of content, quarterly releases, and annual specials. Get practical advice from brewing experts, equipment reviews, great interviews, and much more. There's a new craft beer magazine available right now. Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine on newsstands now. Visit www.beerandbrewing.com. Subscribe now and get your limited edition bottle opener free today. Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine, the new word in craft beer and brewing. The examination.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Dr. Homebrew, glad you're hanging out with us. This is the all brewcaster, or all pseudo brewcaster, or all.
Oh, you're a real brewcaster.
Brewcaster slash sit
some guy.
Some guy brewcaster beers. We just went over Warren's Milk Stout, which is very good. I think I gave it a 4. And we're about to try my Belgian table beer, which I'm sure Warren will give 1,000 to.
Your score doesn't count.
Out of a million.
Neither of your scores counts.
The points don't matter.
No. Well, when do they matter? This is America. Everyone wins.
It's all about the love.
It is all about the love.
There's love here?
It's just, I mean, just we don't even have to go over it.
Oh, the aroma, the aroma of fresh feet.
Yeah, I think it's fine. So,
did someone fart?
It so let's like just farted. Skip over this and
we're,
get right to the
yeah, water. We're just going to get out of here. Thanks, everybody. It's been Dr. Homebrew. And
well, there's got to be a question about your beer.
on the chat. Let's go straight to the
JP,
chat.
JP, what feed? How long have you been brewing, JP?
How long have you
tell
been
us
brewing?
About your brewing history.
So this is your first beer, right?
This is your first time
first
on the
beer
show,
ever.
Right?
It's my first time appearing on the show. Thanks for having me, guys.
Bad.
Sure. We like
all kinds.
I started brewing in 1998, and I just really fell in love with it, you know? I just wanted to have some fun with it. My first beers were awful, they were, you know, gushers. They were, every single one of them was a gusher. And
is that when the movie Mean Girls came out?
I don't know that. And I don't know why
this is the wrong audience.
Yeah.
I'm trying to appeal to the younger listeners right now. No, there was like some 10-year anniversary. Moving on.
And you know, just started extract like everybody else and then moved to partial mash and did 3 of those and said, fuck this shit. I'm out of here. I'm moving up to all grain. And
a lot of still.
There you go.
Put your big boy pants on.
Yeah.
When and, did you become so bitter and angry, though? That's what I want to know.
Probably about my 100th homebrew.
Okay.
That I've had from other people. I've kind of just, I don't know, brewing beer has lost its luster for me. I enjoy drinking beer and talking about beer and thinking about beer and experiencing beer and formulating recipes, but the actual act, maybe it's, you know, because I'm a little upset that I can't, you know, nail certain things or whatever, but I don't know, standing over a hot kettle for 7 hours sucks. Sorry.
So tell us about your childhood now.
Well, my mom was really never there
for
me. You have
to say that in a really German. Tell us about your childhood.
Lee, why don't you start? Why don't you start with me?
Start.
Okay.
Hammering his beer.
You jerk.
From the beginning.
Let's get the knife out.
Start from the beginning, yes.
Dark chocolate, very low herbal hops, medium ashy. Oh, sorry. Wrong beer.
So far, I was
sounds great.
I was liking it.
Yeah.
And it was good. You really do have a good
palate. Wait, what is this beer first?
What is this beer? So what we weren't sure what to categorize it as for judging purposes.
Yeah, good point.
But what JP had told us was it was a clone of the West Lateran 6.
That's my attempt,
That was his intent. So we held him to that. And we argued about it for a bit, decided not to put it as a Belgian pale ale or blah. We put it as a specialty beer, and kind of Belgian specialty, and sort of judge it on its own merits, as it were. So that's what we did, because there's no real category that this fits in. The Westy 6, if you've never had it, is kind of a pale ale-ish sort of thing. It's moderately hoppy for a Belgian beer. Mm-hmm. It's got a little bit of phenol in it. It's kind of nice. I mean, it's almost like a pils with some phenols and a little, you know, a little more apparent hop character and some other ale yeast characters, a little fruit in it. Mm-hmm. Nice beer.
I had one that was like 2 weeks from Europe, and it blew me away.
Yeah, it's
absolutely
very good.
Blew me away.
Yeah, yeah.
I was surprised at the amount of hops that there were. It was very bitter.
Yeah,
very hoppy.
Yeah. No, it'd be right at place over here.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, people here, they'll get it and they'll age it for a year.
That's a mistake.
And
this is not
crush
this
it.
Is not an aging
no.
beer. No, this is a drink it now beer. Yeah. So, what do we get? Well, what did I get? Spicy hops with phenolic white pepper, more phenols than hops, supporting pils malt, some lemon, and almost saison-like nose, but a little bit of DMS in there. Which actually I got when I was drinking the Westy back in Belgium the one time I went and visited and got some there too.
Nice.
So you meant it to be in there.
Yeah.
I'm sure they didn't mean it to be there either. But you know, who knows? I'm not there to interpret their purpose. That's probably somebody else's job. Yeah. Appearance, straw colored, moderate haze, pours a white foam with fine bubbles, fades to a bead. It's a little less so now, but it's coming out of a growler and we judged it like an hour ago, so that happens. A flavor. White pepper phenols, low sulfite, medium to medium high on the phenols, spicy hops are medium low, light pils malt with some lemon and peach esters, Finishes lightly sweet, lingering phenols, lemon and sulfur, a little bit of DMS. Body is medium low, carbonation is medium high, which I think is good for this one. It's not warming or astringent. It's a touch drying, probably some from the sulfur and the phenols, and it's a little bit creamy. Overall, and again, since there's no real style, we're kind of almost half making it up and half targeting towards that one particular beer, I thought it was a well-balanced, refreshing beer, pleasant and drinkable, kind of like a hoppy pils with Belgian yeast, phenol, and ester character. Compared to the Westy 6, I think it's more phenol-forward, maybe a bit low in the hop flavor and aroma compared to the original. And the sulfur could probably be reduced, either less sulfur in your water or a more active ferment to scrub it out if it's a yeast product. Overall, not bad. Actually very good. I gave it a 34.
That's bullshit score.
It is. Yes. It's the new 50 for you, though.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Hey, congratulations.
We haven't heard from Brian yet. Shut
That's
up,
right.
Boy.
Okay. So, the Westy 6 clone. The first thing I got from this one was lemony, just big lemony ester shining through over the top of everything else.
That.
Had a light little kind of tea like note, kind of like chamomile. There's some like little elements of spice and tea in there.
I did steep an English grandmother into this, so that might have something to do with it.
Tea cozy and
a hint of white pepper in the aroma. The malt was clean, pils like low. Hops, it did have some of the phenolics that Lee's talking about. Spicy but clean. Nice color. It has a nice medium yellow with like kind of a haziness. It's like that, I don't know, kind of, the haziness is like even. It's like very, it's like soft looking, you know? The beer looks soft.
Like a 80s...
Like a soft yellow pillow. I don't know.
Like there's a little Vaseline like, around
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Yeah,
like when they take your picture and they fuzz it out. Yeah,
like
exactly.
A glamour shot with marshmallow.
I'm looking at you through it right now. Nice. You look a lot better.
Thank you.
And a medium low head, decent retention, mostly finer bubbles. And the flavor, again, a lot of that lemon, like kind of freshly zested lemon notes up front. And
what is that from? Because there's nothing, you know, I think I use saaz all the way through.
Some yeast, esters yeast, that the yeast is kicking out.
Yeah.
It's a very yeast balanced beer, and this was balanced towards the yeast.
Honestly, I think if you'd serve this as a saison, no one would doubt you for a second.
That's the point I would make.
I agree with some of the saison like comments there. Yeah.
Okay.
I found it to be lightly acidic, but not sour. It was tending towards being a little bit acidic, kind of like you get in some of those lighter acidic beers, like the Goes or you know those kinds of beers, which was kind of cool, and it did aid the refreshing quality of the beer. But you know, Belgian with light pepper and good Belgian yeast ferment going on here. So, but not like one of those big heavy like boom in your face phenols. Just light and you know adding some character to it. The bitterness was very low, I found, and it finishes pretty dry. In the body, it was kind of, like Lee said, medium light body with pretty firm carbonation, no warmth or astringency, not very creamy, but still fairly smooth and easy to drink. I found this to be a really interesting beer and has a lot going for it. I'm not as familiar with the Westy 6. I only had it maybe... Well, I think I've only had clones of it, honestly. So maybe someone can send us some. But I really found the light,
please send us
the light acidic quality with the light pepper and some of the phenols in there made it really pleasant, and it was interesting. It's like for a light beer like this, you could drink this on a summer day, and it goes down clean, and you get a little tang, and it's just refreshing and clean. Mm-hmm. So nice beer. Gave it a 36.
Thank you. Special guest John,
you really want to get my comments on this?
I do.
All right.
Is that a question or a statement?
It's all the above.
Nice.
And I had a few different things on the aroma. I got a little bit of honey and floral aromas, which I found quite interesting. There was definitely lemon in there, which gave it that saisonic. I like that kind of character to it, which
possession.
I thought was really interesting.
Saisonic possession.
That's a good beer name, Warren. Write that down.
Great color. Head retention. Everything nice, fine little bubbles in there. Very lacy, beautiful.
The malt, I got a little bit of grainy malt characteristic. One place I differ from the fine boys to my right here, if we're virtually looking over there, is I did get a little bit of grainy astringency and tannic character out of this. It was tied in with the lemon and with the bitterness of the hops and other parts, but it was definitely enough for me to pop up and take notice of, which I found a little bit of a detractor. The lemony character and all those other fruity aspects were really interesting and kind of pushed it back towards that farmhouse ale kind of, you know, like I was just going to work the back 40 and drink one of these. That'd be great. But that a little bit that funky astringency, a little bit of the tannic character was my main drawback on it. And it actually took me down a good bit, down to 28 points. So I apologize for that. But
hey, you know,
harsh on my scores tonight.
We can't all be good judges.
I get kind of a little chalkiness in there or something. It's like, is there something in the water that is doing something?
I will tell you as soon as we hear from my close personal friend, Warren Billups.
Oh, you want me to talk about your beer?
You don't have to. If you didn't judge it, then
be a negative.
You refuse to judge your beer.
Shut your trap.
Yeah. I mean, it's really going to affect your average. So
shit.
No, I did get a bit of a mild sulfur note. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed the blend of lemon and phenols. And the Pilsner. I kind of jokingly said when we were there discussing the categories, I was like, yeah, it's just like a funky Czech Pilsner. and turns out it was actually not that bad of a description.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely a great summertime drinker. And I give it a 35.
Okay, great. Totally arbitrary.
Yeah.
How do you pull a number out of your ass when you're sitting on it? I don't understand.
It kind of just floats up.
Nice.
That's after a lot of beers.
It also happens to be right between Lee's score and mine. So
yeah, right.
That's pretty safe.
Oh, really?
Land.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Warren does.
There you go.
So let me tell you about this beer. It was, I believe it was like 17, this is for 10 gallons, or 17 pounds Belgian pills and like a pound and a half of Munich. Something like that. And that was it. And then all saws all the way through. With the, I believe it's the White Labs 530, the Abbey yeast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a couple weird things happened. One, the sparge went way too fast. Like, next thing I know, is like the kettle is halfway full.
Thank you.
And so, yeah, so you could be getting some of that for sure, and I had to back everything way down. With a beer like this, I imagine I was pulling a little bit more out of it than I needed to. So I had to add some DME and do this whole kind of nonsense to get my gravity back up, and it was a pain in the ass. But I did something different with the fermentation. I was actually one of our sponsors on the Brewcaster Challenge over on the session, Beer Bug. I was using one of their beer bugs to virtually track this fermentation, which was kind of cool. It has a little float that floats in the beer, and it registers the change in density, I imagine, in the liquid, and kind of just plots it on a chart.
So you can sit at your desk and like log in to where your beer is and just check. Oh,
yeah, it takes like,
oh, it's gone down to
I think like six 10, data points 25. An hour or something.
Wow,
like
back
that.
To the future.
It's like an electronic thing. It's
I'll show you when we're done.
You're my
Wi-Fi broadcast out of the inside of the fermenter.
Yeah.
Have you tried to swallow one of these?
It sits on top. It's a big thing that sits on top, and then the torpedo, they call it, drops down into the liquid.
Okay.
No, it's not like some kind of
like a little tiny guy
colon cleansing thing you would take.
Yeah,
you have your own fantastic voyage. You know,
it would be great.
Magic school bus.
So the problem was what I didn't do is, well, let me back up. Usually I have a cask breather, and I have the cask breather attached to my conical. So there's always a 1 PSI going into the conical, so that way if there's a temperature change, instead of bringing in oxygen or perhaps star sand, let's say, for my blow-off bucket, it'll just bring in CO2. But Warren and I kind of rapped about it a little bit and tried to figure out what happened. Basically, I didn't put a blow-off on it at all. I just thought, oh, okay, I've never really gotten a vigorous fermentation like that I need to blow off. I have a domed lid, the conical for more beer, and I should be fine. I had friggin' yeast everywhere. It just was, it exploded. day after day after day. It was just this giant fermentation, 74 degrees. I've made this beer twice before. The first time, I think I did it at 68, and I wanted to up the kind of yeasty qualities to it. So I fermented at 72, and then this at 74, and just, I mean, thick, creamy yeast pouring out of this beer bug. It was and then like down the fan, the cooling fans of my conical.
That must have been fun to clean up.
Like. Oh my god, it was amazing. just I've never had a fermentation like that. So those are my two kind of caveats. Just to let you know what happened to this.
You won't be making this beer again.
I will be making this beer again,
which but
I will
kind of pushes it more in that blow off
next. I'll use a blow off tube for sure. Maybe lower the temp a little bit. But the main problem I have with it is that graininess that comes through. I noticed it right away, and I don't know where it, for me, it didn't taste like an astringent thing, but just like there was a grain dust, you know, like actual grain bits that I was drinking. That was fresh grain, but I didn't really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a sharpness. It's, I don't know, it's to different people, it's different things. It gives me squeaky teeth, like I'm eating spinach or something.
Okay,
you know, that kind of thing. And I don't know, that came, everybody's got different palates, and it came across to me much more than the gentleman here to the right, the experts.
Yeah, mostly to me it was coming across just kind of sulfury. I mean, I can sort of see where John's coming from. There's some of that in there.
Had a
mostly
lot of,
for me, yeah. I get sulfur, a little DMS,
this is actually,
and a lot of phenols.
This is actually less sulfury than it was a few days ago.
Mm-hmm. How old is this?
2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks. You mean from when you finished racked it out of the fermenter?
I'm looking at you, and I don't know why, because you weren't there at all for it.
No, I wasn't. Yeah. 2 weeks sounds about right, though.
It's probably been in the kegs about a week. Oh, I put it on tap the day before
it's
we last game. So last Wednesday or last Tuesday. Last Tuesday.
So it's like 2 weeks ago you brewed it.
Yeah.
Oh God. Well, another week or two might help.
You didn't
beer.
Brew it 2 weeks ago.
Maybe 3 weeks
not
ago.
Might help
I kegged it last
will
Tuesday.
Help
wouldn't
beer.
It say on your Brewbug?
Yeah, but I have to log in. I realize. So you know, I don't know. But no, I kegged it last Tuesday. And I pulled it out of the fermenter after a little over, 8 days.
It's been on tap 2 game nights.
Really?
Yeah, because it was really flat the first time.
It's under a month.
And it's it'll at soften least. Out quite a bit. Probably
yeah.
reduce
a little
some
time,
of the acidic
stringency. The yeast might soak up some of the sulfurs. They might drop out themselves and, you know, get rid of some of that yeast. Some of that you know, drag out some of the sulfur. Maybe some of the tannins will go with it if you're lucky. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think another week or two might help.
You know what? Bring it on
More
another
than
show.
More that's not going to help it.
Seriously. Do that. You should totally do that.
I'll brew another milk stout, and we can just recreate
I'll bring
just
be, a,
this wonderful night.
Yeah.
I'll bring a Kolsch that's not in a 30-gallon jug that has one.
Yeah. So we're deciding to re-record this whole show? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Well, it'll just be a... You
fail.
Know,
this is just a practice.
Right. Until I get above a 40... This is not airing.
We're not doing this ever again.
We will come back for this. What about water? Just filtered water?
Oh, I did filter water and then just straight carbon block, and I put some gypsum in there.
Okay. How fast do you run off through your carbon filter?
I do it fairly slow. I don't just open it full blast and kind of, you know,
two
I put it about
minute.
Halfway.
One
two
pint
pints
a minute?
Minute.
Faster that's than that. The what they recommend in our little you know Osh
yeah faster than
carbon
that.
Yeah, I think everybody does it faster than
yeah.
that
but yeah it
I don't,
is.
I don't know
mean,
we
chloramine
should...
is a bitch to get out of water without pro tools and super slow water run is a key thing. Not that we're getting a lot of chloramine. I got a wee trace. I wrote down chlorophenols, but maybe that was a mixture of the peppery spice and some other accent.
Yeah, and given that this is a little sulfur, you might not need to be adding any sulfate to it, any gypsum. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the water's like out.
We get a water
in,
reading.
But.
Come to the next dose meeting. Yeah. We'll do a water on you. We've got two
we'll
kids.
We'll do a water.
Coming.
Reading
we'll waterboard
on
you
water
at the next dose
you.
Meeting.
Yeah,
we'll
bring my
Sarah
crystal
and
water palms, man.
That'd be great. I've always had a problem with my pale beers having kind of a hoppy snap to them. If you will,
this is stout water territory here, though. It's
this is
the problem.
This is stout water territory. Yeah, for sure. It's sulfite. Yeah, I don't know.
That's another discussion.
These are my problems. is
they're first world problems.
They are first world problems.
There's too many sulfites in my water.
I can't brew the hoppy beer styles I want to brew.
I mean,
brew.
I can drink it when it comes out of the faucet, but just too
many
sulfites.
Blend it with some RO.
I won't die.
Yeah, right.
It's not like you got an amoeba in your ear and
I don't have to boil it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My life sucks.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't brew too many pale beers, but I would like to do them well if and when I decide to start doing them. So
yeah, well, do it again. It's the best way to get better.
Gotta move
things.
To Dublin,
but I don't know how to. I mean, I don't know. For me,
dude, you host a show where people get feedback. You can figure it out.
Maybe I'm not very smart. For me, this beer does have a little more separation between hops and the malt. But usually my pale beers kind of don't. Those things kind of blend together, and I don't dig that, you see.
Have you had Andrew on the show yet, Brian?
Yeah, he Skyped in from Disneyland.
So he builds all his water from RO
I'm not
gonna
do that.
Freaking time.
I'm not trying to.
JP's too lazy.
Insane.
I mean, you could blend in some, you know, distilled water and lighten up your water profile. That would be easy. Get a couple jugs of distilled water, dump it in there. You know, for a pale beer.
That's a good.
Do you normally add sulfites? Because you said you added some sulfites to this one.
Yeah. No, I don't normally. No.
Well, that might be why how you're saying that normally there's not a separation between the malt and the hops. The sulfites will make the hops pop more.
Yeah. Right. That's why I added it.
Right. I mean, maybe this is too much.
I see what you're saying.
If the sulfites coming through are from the water and not from the yeast, it's possible. Yeah. That it's from some from the yeast,
mm-hmm.
especially since it's kind of getting cleaned up as it ages.
Yeah. Okay.
But maybe just go in between zero and what you added for the next time.
I'd love to try this in three weeks.
I made a little pocket in my palm and just put a little tiny bit in there twice.
So have Taryn do it with her smaller hand with a smaller amount.
Right.
All right. Well, I mean, the other thing, too, about this beer, if you really want to make it a Westy 6 clone, it's way more phenols than hops. So you may actually want to dial up the hop, or at least the aroma, maybe the flavor hops a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And even definitely the bittering. Cool the ferment out a bit. The phenols,
too much,
and to some degree the esters in here, they're pretty intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is coming across more like a baby triple on that sort of thing.
Okay.
Lemons or Saison.
Super, really, really forward yeast character.
Farmhouse-y-ish.
It's probably too much for this beer.
Okay. The Saison comments were very interesting.
Yeah.
Because I never really... kind of applied that to this.
Yeah, and it's not really what I got out of the Westy 6 one or two times I tried it.
Yeah.
So I think the yeast character is too forward, and the beer, if you're trying to make that, it's too forward here.
I would like to. It's such a good beer. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and wrap up, and then get out of here because it's real late and I'm tired. Dr. Homebrew, everybody, back after this.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, more beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of the buzz, the forum, the learning center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just two blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small four-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew,
a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up. You might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Thanks for hanging out with us. Just a quick recap. What did we say about Warren's beers? Definitely cut down on the
dark
malt and his roast. Milk stout.
Mm-hmm. But still a tasty brew.
Yeah, it was still very good, Warren.
Yeah. You guys can have it. Great. I'll make another one.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Well, what you brought is.
You should ferment one.
There's two kegs where that came from.
Yeah. Ferment one with yeast from your beard, maybe, and that would do the trick.
I haven't gotten any yeast. I've gotten things to grow, but not yeast yet. Not Saccharomyces yeast.
E. coli.
That's a whole other story.
Was there anything else with Warren's Milk Stout that we suggested?
It was suggested that it should be a little sweeter, but it's, you know, dialing down the ashy character might help that right there. And if not, you could always add some
more
lactose.
Stop dumping ash in your beer, apparently.
Although it was pretty, that's a lot of lactose, so that should have been there. Certainly with a terminal gravity of 10.23, you would think that's going to be a sweet beer.
I think backing off the roast grains, as we mentioned earlier, will bring the sweetness forward. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before I tasted it, when I saw 10.23 on my hydrometer, I was panicking. I was like, oh, no.
Roasts leave a lot of terminal gravity. Mm-hmm. They really do. They always bring up. Yeah.
Well, and the lactose, too, with 2 pounds in there.
Yeah. I know. That's a lot.
Yeah.
In 11 gallons, was it?
Yeah, 11 and a half gallons, 2 pounds.
You did good, though, son. You did all right.
Thank you. Sweet. I'll do better next time.
Good. And then my beer was basically just don't ever make it again.
Just a hellhole.
Quit while you're ahead.
Yeah. Just stop
it
doing
just,
it.
Just like, what was going on here?
But try it. I want to try this in 3 weeks and see how zippy tasty it is.
Yeah, it might be pretty good. It does have a little young quality to it. But I think the main thing was just to bring the ferment temp down a little bit. Maybe try diluting a little bit of the water with distilled water, Bri. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you could blend in some of that.
Why not?
Don't add any additives.
Sulfur.
Yeah, no sulfites.
Might come across a little cleaner. But yeah, I mean, it was an interesting beer for what it was. And we judged it in a wide open category, pretty much, where you could have anything from a really spicy Belgian crazy, you know,
which makes it challenging.
Beer to Orval. You know, I mean, it's just, it could go anywhere where it's just mainly about the balance in a beer like that. And mm-hmm. I thought the balance was nice with what it had there, the lemoniness with a little bit of white pepper and, you know,
if JP had said this was a farmhouse ale, would we have judged it better, do you think? Just throwing that out there.
I don't know if the score would have been different. Maybe a little bit. I don't know.
It doesn't have as much of the funk as you might get from one of those.
True.
But,
But the lemons.
The lemon and the esters and the phenols would be very consistent with that.
If you said Saison.
How would you boil this?
90.
Okay, yeah. Because it does have a little DMS. That
Well,
rid of too,
yeah, I mean,
it might be from the additives.
I don't know. Maybe not 90, maybe 75.
110.
I don't know.
So who wins the award?
Okay, I didn't boil it at all. All right, I just ran it off and ferment.
You just threw a couple of hot rocks in there, let it sanitize for a bit.
Yeah,
nice. Hawaiian. Man.
I didn't even make it.
All right. You just bought this from some home.
I bought a case of Westy 6.
Right, and just spit in it.
Pour it in the growler.
So I think we're going to give the gift certificate, the grog tag, at least your beer will look good, gift certificate to Blobber, because he asked a bunch of questions in the chat, and then you know, I think he deserves that. So
he should
thank
send in
you,
his Weizenbock that he just
He should send. I don't. I've never had a beer from Blobber.
I don't think I have either.
I know
Blobber,
he drinks
send
it.
In your beers, dude.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here, everyone. What do you think?
Yeah, I think
let's go.
Well, thanks, guys, for having me.
Yeah, John, thanks for sitting in. Appreciate it very much. Thanks for bringing your beers. Warren, thank you.
Oh,
you get grog tags, right?
Some love.
No,
man.
I don't.
No.
Oh, wait, no. Yeah, that's
no. We're giving him to Blobber.
He's being withholding.
He's pseudo. Warren's a pseudo employee. You can hear him sometimes on The Session, or you can find him all the times at Heretic Brewing in Fairfield.
All the times.
All of the times.
Plural.
Thank you very much again to our sponsors, Five Star. You can go to 5starchemicals.com and learn all about what makes Five Star the best cleaning and sanitizing duo on the market. And then, of course, thanks to GrogTag for our at least your beer will look good gift certificates. They will go to good use, I'm sure, up there in Canada with Blobber. Until the next time, everyone, be good to each other. And yeah, I almost locked out with my Disney podcast lockout. And, that was going to be real weird. Whatever.
Do it. Have a magical night.
No.
Is that everyone's a princess tonight?
No. I'm not even going to. Whatever. Anyway, have a good night, everyone. See you
Keep
next time.
Keep up the good brewing out there.